of the night. That's my favorite thing. Waking up in the middle of my life. Nothing's what it seems.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I do the show, which is about the evolution of consciousness, how we are evolving and creating new realities here on the planet, and what we're moving into as a spiritual race of mature adult beings, or at least that's what we're trying to achieve. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and I have a very interesting, exciting guest tonight who's written a book called The Art of Conscious Creating, How You Can Transform the World and Your Life. Her name is Jackie Lappin, and we're going to be talking about how we actually create the life that we want, what we desire. Jackie, are you there?
I am, Alan. I'm so pleased to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being a guest, because you know, if you've been in this field, you know, this has sort of become the latest fad, creating your reality, conscious creation, abundance workshops, The Secret, all that. And there is something to it, but I don't know. It sort of has gotten, for me, very, very faddish, I guess, very popular, very, very much lip service. But I know there's a practical truth to it, so I think we should go over really how we define reality and what it is that we're creating, and how do we separate ourselves from, like, the people who are just giving it lip service. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think the most important thing is that people understand that there is this potential to inform their own experience through how they how they think. And that came very clear on The Secret. And that was new territory for a lot of people. But I think what they really didn't understand is how they can actually apply this in their life to consciously create their lives, to make their lives what it is that they want to be. It's not just managing little parts of their life. It's not just deflecting. It's not just, you know, thinking a little bit differently. It is actually stepping out and taking responsibility for the future that they want to have.
Mm.
It is much more than just, oh, I'd like to get a new car.
Right. That was the problem people had with The Secret, and that's where I think it fell short. But I do know it is our thoughts that do create every minute of our experience, or at least our attitudes to the situations that happen is the reality that we are living in. I mean, that's how I define it. What? Yes? Yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is, everything is energy. And all of our thoughts and our emotions, it's not just our thoughts, and our emotions are energy packets. And as we begin to broadcast those energy packets in the world, they have a tremendous impact, both for us and for the Earth. Because what I think, one of the unique things about my book is, but it talks about how we change the planet through our own energy. The Earth is like an energy bank, and it takes on our energy deposits, just like a regular bank takes your money deposits. So if you're vibrating in the negative range, you're contributing to the pain and the war and the poverty and hunger that we have around the world. If you're vibrating in the positive range, you are contributing to the world that we all want to live in. A world of peace and joy and abundance where everybody has enough food and people are getting along. So each of us really has a little role to play that can become a much bigger role if we choose to take responsibility. And that's really an interesting aspect of this. I think, you know, it's one thing that you learn that you are responsible for your own life and that you can manifest in your own life. But once you learn to do that, you also have to start manifesting for the planet.
Well, I think that's a really good point, and I think what most people don't realize is they can activate their thoughts. Instead of receiving their thoughts all day long, we actually have a part in sending out and choosing what we're thinking, you know, so we don't have to go to a certain place that seems like it's going to take us down. We can just say, I'm not going there.
Well, I call this personal energy management.
Okay.
Because you see, if you're vibrating in that lower range, all of those, you know, hate, fear, anger, frustration, disappointment, hopelessness, victimization. That's the reality that you're going to be living. You're going to be attracting more of it, and that's the world that you're going to be living in.
Mm-hmm.
If you raise your personal frequency, and that's living in the world of love and compassion and understanding and acceptance and trust in the universe, if you're radiating at vibrating at that level because you are consciously monitoring your thoughts and changing your thoughts so that you are living in that range, then a lot of interesting things are going to happen. One of which is you are going to be vibrating at the same level as the rest of the universe. The universe operates on this frequency of love. I call it surfing the love vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, finish.
So what you really want to be doing is raising your vibration to surf the love vibration. When you do that, you are going to be manifesting faster. Your life is going to be easier. Things are going to be coming to you that you actually want and desire and have designed. If you're vibrating in that lower range, it's like driving with the brakes on.
Mm.
And you're going to hit all kinds of obstructions, and your life's going to be a struggle, and you can't figure out why things don't work, and everything's falling on your head. It is
a conscious choice. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But yet the arguments I've had with people that actually I haven't had a good answer for, I mean, just recently on this show I did with some well-known people, they said, well, if you do that, it's great to say it if you're in the position of, you know, we're pretty well off here in the West, but what about people who choose poverty? And what about the people, did they choose their illness? Did they create that? You know, there's those questions that I would like to have a good, solid response to along the lines of, well, we create everything somehow. But how would you answer that to those people who say?
Well, I think people are born into certain circumstances, and whether they actually choose that in their soul before they come, in their spirit before they come here or not, the real truth is that people are born into circumstances that can be very afflictive.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's really what you do with what you have. And you don't necessarily have to go out and get a Ferrari if you're, you know, living in a third world country. But you may be an engine of joy and change in your village. You may be the one that brings smiles to everybody's face. You may be the one who makes lemonade out of lemons. We can all rise above.
Yeah, what about the people, you know, who have certain illnesses and things? No one wants that to happen to them. How do you explain that?
Well, there's a whole part of my, you know, I certainly discuss, you know, the physical realm of energy in the Art of Conscious Creation, how you can transform the world. You know, that's really a function of people's energy, emotional and energy blockages. You know, nobody wants to be ill, but the majority of us are ill because of the choices we've made to sublimate our emotions. And if we learn how to properly release those emotions and the energy that we've built up in there, then we have far less illness.
Yes. I mean, I agree. I mean, I can even see when if I'm coming down with a flu or a cold, if I shift my thinking or somehow it has to do with how I'm feeling and am I susceptible. I understand that. It's just hard to convince other people of that. Not that I have to convince them, but, you know, I really do think, and a teacher I had said, attitude is everything. Whatever we think is reflected in us. In a way we look at the world. And, you know, if you are a poor person in a third world country, you can have a great time. I mean, not that you would, you know, want that, but it's your attitude about reality, about the situation that really affects who we are. But, I mean, I know you go further into that why don't you go through some of the details of, like, the guiding principles and some of the things.
I will. I'd be delighted to.
Yes.
You know, what I have created is a book in three parts, actually. And the first part is how we learn to raise our personal frequency and manifest for ourselves. The second part of the book is about the science that, in fact, mandates and proves that what we think we create. And the third part of the book is about how we use those tools to begin transforming the world. But the first part of the book has, the core of it is the 26 guiding principles that help you, that you can put to work for you as you begin to raise your frequency. And the law of attraction is only one of those 20, of those 25 guiding principles. Some of the other ones that I think are really powerful are the transmutation of energy. How we can take negative energy and not only transform our own negative energy into positive energy, but we can actually help other people do that. We take negative situations, make other people feel better about their lives by giving them a hug or just being the, you know, the positive force in a room, to bringing kindness to a situation, being the level-headed person in a group of people that are arguing. There are lots of ways that you can transmute negative energy to positive. That's one of them. Another one is the universe is knocking open the door. Well, the universe really wants to download us all the things we want and to give us all kinds of goodwill. But we, more often than not, are standing in our own way. And this chapter talks about how we can actually get out of our way and let so much of this goodwill come forth to us. There's another one that I love is what we say is more than just words. Because each of us, most of us are not even conscious of the way that we use words. And words are powerful. They're energy. And so frequently we may say things that not only limit our own power in the world, we disabuse ourselves with the kinds of words we use about ourselves.
Well, we're so conditioned, though. We have such deep instilled, probably unconscious conditioning from our parents and religions and education that we don't even realize what we're doing.
Well, and that's the point of this. It is to make people aware. I have to tell you, since I started on this path, I stop myself in the middle of a sentence and say, no, that's not what I want to say. And I actually was kidding with some of my spiritual girlfriends the other day, and I said, oh, I just want to get through this month without killing myself. And then I stopped and said, no, that's not what I want to say. I want to get through this month doing a great job for my clients with ease and flow. Think about the difference in that comment. Think about
right.
the different energy I put forth.
Right.
And,
good.
You know, by becoming conscious of these things, you begin to change yourself. But you have to think first, that's not what I choose to say.
Right, right.
We have choice. We are
you're
not
absolutely
just
right.
creatures
yeah.
of habit.
And, well, and what I... No, go ahead.
One of the ramifications of all this is we have energy habits, and they are negative energy habits or positive energy habits. The point here is to shift to positive energy habits, to eliminate your negative energy habits, and spot them. Not just spot them in yourself, but spot them in others. Help others.
And tell others, hey, did you notice when you said that? I mean, we are responsible. We can be for our community.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. When you become aware, you become a powerful engine for change across the board.
Would you say it's our responsibility then to especially help our friends and family to watch their vocabulary? I mean, do you point that out to your friends and family? Hey, did you hear what you said?
In a very loving way. I don't criticize. But what I do is say, you know, if you might try this because it may put you in a better flow to actually achieve what you want to achieve.
Now, how do you not blame yourself or someone who has created a bit of a mess for themselves? If you're thinking along these lines and there is something that comes out, how do you not really blame yourself and get down on yourself?
Well, the first thing is, and there's a chapter here called that's easy for you to say. Where are you? There's a chapter here about, oh, those tests.
Okay.
Because everything we experience is a constant education. And so when I go through something negative, I may slap myself on the head for a minute and say, okay, now what is the universe trying to teach me here?
Right.
It's not that I am a bad person for making that choice. It's because, well, I was meant to get learn this lesson, wasn't I?
Well, you just had a test recently. Do you want to tell us about it, or do you care not to?
Are you talking about my friend Jeff?
No, about you. Didn't you do something?
My back?
Yes.
My
yes.
back surgery?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Actually, that's an interesting story. Last year, I had dual back surgery. 10 years
yes.
ago, I had a similar surgery, but on two other discs.
Uh-huh.
And this year, we decided to take the little pins and rods out because they were annoying me.
Right.
And when the doctor got in there, he found that the very first disc that had been fused 10 years ago had never fused. Now, the results of that is I am back in a back brace for the next 6 weeks after they put in some synthetic bone. Now, I could have whined and moaned and said, oh, no, woe is me, et cetera. I chose instead to say, I am so fortunate that they actually had to go back in there a second time to do something else, and they found this problem that we can fix. This may be why I have been in pain for so long.
I see. So you're taking everything and making it into, I mean, you could choose to feel any way about any situation, and you're just saying, yeah, this is the benefit, this is the blessing in this situation.
You know, there are lots of wonderfully spiritual people who've gone around their whole life doing this. But you know what? I'm like most of the rest of the people out there. I was a glass half empty. You know, I mean, I am going to fess up. And
okay.
I decided as I began to explore my spiritual nature and this book, and this information began to flow to me,
mm-hmm.
I said, that's not the life I want to live anymore. This is the life I want to live. And I began working on myself. And I am now a glass half full person. Because when those fearful things strike me, those negative thoughts, I say, no, I'm not going there anymore. What is the opposite thought that puts me in a positive vibration?
Well, you know, this is really the spiritual path. I mean, you can meditate, you could do all those things, do rituals and ceremonies, but this type of changing your thinking, changing the reality through thought, I think is really the ultimate spiritual path of transformation. I mean,
well, you know, I'm just gonna tell you that it certainly has changed my life. I mean, when I choose to need, when I need something, it comes. When I tell the universe that I'm in need of something, and it's not, we're not talking material things. I say, God, I need an expert in this, or I need somebody to help me with that, or, you know, I really could love somebody to step up the plate and take this off of my shoulders. Those things happen.
Mm. Well, just in the opening of your book, when it says the current of the universe, I know you mentioned this before, when you say what we think is what we create, that is a really deep and powerful understanding, what we think. Now, where do the thoughts, what do we think? Now, how do we understand thought? I mean, where's the source of that? I mean, do you know, it goes so deep and so far back to the source of all creation. Like, why does this individual have this stream of thought, and where's the soul God force that then can direct that energy into something else? You know,
I think what we're looking at is everybody basically has two voices in them. One is the voice of their intellect, their ego, their head.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the voice of their heart and their soul. And sometimes they're at war and sometimes they're in concert, but sometimes you have to make the decision as to which is the most important to listen to. And I find that I operate in my head most of the day. You know, I'm not only an author, I'm a media relations expert. You have me to thank for the worldwide poker boom.
Thank you.
And so many of the other things, you know, you spend your day in your head. But when I really want to know what is really going on in my life, what is in my highest good, what is it I really, really want, I get quiet and I listen to that other voice. And that's a really important concept here. I talk about people getting quiet and listening to what the universe says. That's how I got into this, because I've been a public relations person for a lot of years, and a very good one, as you can tell by my work with the World Poker Tour.
Right.
But I sat back and I discovered that if you ask the universe questions, if you want to hear what is really in your highest good and what is your purpose in this life, you have to ask the question. And so I said, what am I really supposed to be doing with these skills? And I got an answer. And the answer is, I'm supposed to be teaching simultaneous synchronized vision to heal the world and then teaching people how to do this for themselves and why they must learn to do this and what it will create for their future and for the future of the planet.
So that's something you got from the source for you
absolutely.
To do.
Yes.
So we seem to be in a great cosmic transformation. I mean, what do you feel is happening, and what's going to happen to the planet, and where are we going, and what's most of our roles here? Can you talk about that?
Well, I think one of the things is you can feel the transformation because it's like a light grid, you know, with a grid just a grid. Mm-hmm. And every little intersection of the grid is lighting up with other people who are getting many of these concepts. And some of them are getting them obviously from other people like me and you and others. But a lot of these people are actually finding these truths on their own. And you find this whole grid of people coming forward, connecting. And the quickening of it and the number of people just is rising dramatically. You can feel that transformation, I think.
Yeah.
And as to where we are going...
Yes, where are we going with this huge transformation?
Here's the real question. Where and when is the tipping point? Because, you see, that's the whole point of this book. If we get enough people to think this way and to use their positive energy to create the visions that are going to change the world, then we are going in some incredible places.
Where are those places? Yeah.
A place of peace, a place of abundance. We can manifest that world. On the other hand, if we sit around and look at all the negatives and bemoan the world as it is and let all those other folks with all their fears and anxieties and competition and their need for power, you know, control the world, if we don't get enough of us together, then those are going to be the dominant force. And that's where you'll see global warming and, you know, natural disasters and then human disasters.
Well, I think I agree with you, and I think that there is a tipping point. It seems like more and more people are waking up. I mean, maybe we've been involved in this field for a long time, but more people are saying, "Hey, what were you saying 10 years ago? Now I'm ready for it," you know, or something like that. I hear occasionally from people I run into, or even people in my family. They're open to it more and more, and so. There is a shift going on. I think another big point that you bring out is the action of creativity. I think that's why we're incarnated, to create more knownness. We're here to bring in more of our skills. Tapping into the source is a form of creativity. And that's sort of where I've been heading in my research. I mean, how do you see the whole act of creativity and transformation?
Well, I think it is an act of source. We're co-creators.
Mm.
We are working with the universe to produce those things that we, in fact, would like to have. We're not doing it on our own, but we are employing the energy of this great universe that we have, to basically train it, essentially, to bring forth those things that we want, to work in concert with it. So, yeah, I think that I don't think we create out of thin air. I think things come to us because we turn on the power that makes them, in fact, available to us to bring forth things from potential into reality.
Well, that is another question I was going to ask you, because I have studied with Ramtha, you know Ramtha?
Mm-hmm,
he did the whole creating your day and what the bleep, which really was kind of public kickoff for this type of understanding. Part of Ramtha's teaching is making known the unknown, and a lot of people, through their act of conscious creation, in a sense, are only creating from what they know. So how do we integrate, if we want to create something, we're creating it from the known, but we have to sort of bring in the unknown, and I guess that's where you're saying it becomes a co-creation, because there's always a little bit of unknown. But how do we actually welcome the unknown in the act of creating, even though it's nothing we could have created because it's unknown? Do you know what I'm asking?
Well, I think we need to be open to, state what our needs are. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have to sit down and figure out how that's going to happen. That's one of the magic of all of this. You can, you can basically put out a call, essentially, and let the universe work out the details.
But how do we even bring in the unknown? How do we say, I'm available for something really different?
Well, what you really need to do is create the vision of where you, and get in the emotions of what it is that you want to experience. If you know that you want to have more freedom in your life and you want to be happy and you don't yet know what that form is going to take, you know, you can start that process. But manifestation is speeded up when people do know what it is and they focus on what it is that they want. Not necessarily on how to get there, but when you focus on the outcome, you will achieve something. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is exactly what is in your highest good. One of the things is a lot of times I simply say, bring me what is in my highest good, because I may not even know the answer of what that is.
We're in the way a lot of the times
And a lot of times when people want to manifest, they give a very specific number or a very specific, I want these three things, et cetera, et cetera. But one of my favorite phrases to add when I'm manifesting is, this or something better.
Uh-huh. That's good. That opens it up, I think, to wonder and excitement. And another key to manifesting, they say, is to feel as if you already have the thing that you've want. So it's not just creating, thinking it, it's feeling it. You're feeling as if, I know what it feels like to have this, $1 million.
Well, there's some very specific steps in the book, The Art of Conscious Creation, How You Can Transform the World. Very specific steps about how you actually sit down to begin manifesting.
Do you want to go through a few?
Well, sure, I'd be delighted to do that. The first thing that, there's obviously an importance to get being comfortable in a place where you won't be disturbed, and you can get deeply into your quiet place, whether you're meditating or just being quiet. That's finding the right place. That's one important thing. When you begin to manifest, you really want to put yourself in a relaxed state. And so a lot of times one of the things that I do, I have 17 visions for world healing in the book, and each one of them starts the same way. I basically take myself to a place of great beauty. And in my case, it's usually someplace where there's a waterfall and running water, and I can hear it, see it, and feel it, and, pine trees. And that, to me, is my perfect little lodge spot. And so I get into a place of joy, some place that I know, that I love, that I feel fantastic. So I'm starting to rev up my energy into that positive framework that's starting to attract. And then you sit down and you create this vision, this beautiful vision of the world that you want to experience, the life you want to experience, the person you want to experience, the love you want to experience, whatever it might happen to be. But you're right. The vision is only half of it. The emotions are really the powerful part of it. This is what I call the FedEx to the cosmic post office.
Okay.
That's where you get your silver bullet. It's feeling it, experiencing, feeling like you're absolutely there, you're living that reality, and oh man, this is so fantastic, and life is great, and you know, you're so in love, and you're whatever it may be, you know, just really revel in all those experiences. Then, as you kind of, you know, you've got all this energy going, then you thank the universe for already having manifested it. You act as if it's already there. You know that it is coming forth, and trust the universe to bring it to you. Don't get in this, you know, don't get into your fear state. Don't get into your doubt state. Just say, thank you. This is, you know, be in gratitude. Be in absolute gratitude. This is, you know, thank you for bringing this to me and for letting me experience this.
And it has to happen, I feel that way, because you've created the space for where it already does exist. You're living at the frequency, because everything is frequency. So if you're at that frequency, you're going to have the frequency you've created.
Well, and a lot of people say, well, why didn't it come to me? Well, there's two or three things. First of all, it may not be on your timing. Everything is on divine timing. And even I've had a number of psychics tell me about the guides. You know, I'm a very patient, impatient person because I'm, you know, I'm a real doer, et cetera. And they keep saying, the guides are trying to tell you it's going to be on their timing, not yours, which is, you know, great wisdom to me. But the other factor is you may be blocking it. I mean, there are other ways. You have low-frequency stuff going on in your body, in your head, that may, in fact, prevent it from coming forth. And what you need to do is work on
it. But do we also block it by being attached to it, by wanting something too much? Is that a way of blocking it, or is that a way of bringing it through?
There's a difference between desiring it and visioning it and clutching to it.
Right. Tell us about that.
If you are clutching, if you are holding, if you're desperate, that's a really key concept. If you're desperate, if this has to happen, or your life is going to be over, if this has to happen, or you're going to be in the poorhouse, if this has to happen, you are absolutely blocking it. That kind of negative energy is will actually push it away. This is, you know, this is kind of that law of attraction magnet kind of stuff. If you're radiating that kind of negative desperation, it is going to send it the other direction.
I get it. Okay. So let it go. Once you feel it, embrace it, let it go, just know. I think part of it is just knowing it's going to be there. With that, when you know something, you can let it go and trust. There's an act of trust involved is what you're also saying there.
Absolutely. It is so much universal trust. There's a whole chapter in the book on learning to trust and surrender. You know, one of the things about this book that I think I think has a lot of appeal for people is, you know, you can read 14, 15, 20, 40 different spiritual books, and each one has an important kernel of thought for you, you know, focusing on gratitude or focusing on this or focusing on that. What I tried to do is to bring it all together in an easy, step-by-step little format with quick, easy references so that, I need to remember to do that. Oh, yeah, that's... And you don't have to go looking for it everywhere in the world. It is really easy to find. One of the little chapters here is learning to trust and surrender. And that may actually be one of the most difficult things for me personally, because I have always been a person who's very much been in control of my life, or I thought I was. And since I learned to trust and surrender to the universe, I find things happen a whole lot easier than when I was trying to control them and make them happen.
Well, that's the difference, I think, between, like, the computer analogy, between just using your own personal computer or being connected to the Internet, you know. There's much more information. You know, when we trust and let go, we open up to the source as opposed to trying to do it ourselves, you know. So we have all that information available.
The other thing is, when you trust and surrender, you are in a receiving mode. And that's a really important thing. I was having this conversation the other day with some of my girlfriends, and, you know, we're very powerful women, and sometimes we forget that our feminine energies are the receiving energies, and we have to sit back and consciously. And so now I start my day with there are two or three things that I call my mantras, and one of them is, today I will receive. I open myself to receiving.
You'll let yourself, whatever that is, you're saying, yeah. are you making a specific request to receive something specific?
No, I just open myself to receive whatever it is in my highest good, whatever it is that I need.
Uh-huh.
Because most of the time I can be so busy doing things that I don't open that channel. So whatever it is I need, I can't get through.
Thank you for that. The other important point I think you talk about is the zero-point field. Can you explain that?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the science.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's really fascinating to me has been the fact that, you know, and so certainly the secret touched on some of this, but I really did a survey of the quantum physics. And the book has a fabulous chapter that looks at how this is, you know, unfolding in science. But I have cite specifically 60 different cases that validate, in fact, that we think we create. And the zero-point field is this vast energy field that we all exist in. You know, all that air between us isn't empty. It's full of energy. And so if we create an act, if we think, if we emote emotionally, then we're sending out energy into the field, and it ripples everywhere. And that's how we, you know, inform our world. That's how we make things happen unconsciously. I mean, what I'm trying to do with this book is make people conscious, because they're living an unconscious life. They're attracting unconsciously. Here's how you become conscious. And so some of the really interesting studies for me, because most people think, you know, well, you know, I impact myself. Well,
right.
You impact the plants and the animals around you and even your own body with your thoughts. And here are some great cases. Here's my favorite. A scientist has got monitors on a woman and her plants to show how people are connected to their plants. Only the woman is 3,000 miles away from her plants. She's about to take off in an airplane, and she is terrified of flying. At the moment that the flight takes off, the scientist registers that the plants 3,000 miles away respond to her fear.
Wow. Wow.
3,000 miles.
Here's
another one.
Cleve Baxter, is that Cleve? Which experiment was that? Anyway, I'll find it.
It's
in the book somewhere. But tell me the other one you were going to say.
One of them is a doctor down in Texas who actually asked her students, one group, to increase the number of T cells in their body by through intention, concentrated focus and intention. And then she asked the other group to increase a different kind of cell. When she finished the experiment and did the blood test, they did exactly as they were instructed. The specific kinds of cells that they were asked.
Well, there's even things where people can choose not to die until a relative shows up and things like that, you know, which makes me think, well, why don't they just choose not to die at all, you know? I mean, if they can choose that consciously, then they could, you know, we're a lot more powerful than we've been conditioned to think that we are. I think that's part of the transformation, is the huge potential that exists inside our brains, inside our intention of affecting the world. And I think that's what's so important about your book, is that it shows us that we have that power. You know, I love the other stuff that you cite, the remote viewing cases with Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, who I both interviewed, and Valerie Hunt's work. And but what I also like is you put it together and bring it around to affecting the planet. Now let's talk about some of this planetary change that we want to happen, as far as what you're saying is the ripple effect. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, we talked about visualization and how powerful that is for the individual. It is equally as powerful for the world. And when two or three or four or a million people share the very same thought at the very same time, that is incredibly powerful energy. That's what they call entrainment in science. When waves join together, individual waves come together, and they're exponentially more powerful than the individual waves. And what we do is if we join people's thoughts together with the very same thought, we have the ability to create a much greater shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did when I created United World Healing, the foundation that I started. And if you want to go there, you can go to check it out. It's unitedworldhealing.org.
Right. You there had some other stuff you wanted to talk about, too, some other products and some other websites you're involved with.
Yeah, yeah. So folks can go to unitedworldhealing.org, and here's what they can do. They can sign up,
mm-hmm.
and then be alerted when we're going to have a vision in, when we're going to bring people together for simultaneous synchronized visions to heal the world. We also are going to be offering a vision a day. We'll give a little bit of your mental energy each day to whatever vision that we are trying to create. Education for everybody around the world. The recovery of certain near extinct animals. The recovery from global climate disasters. You know, all of we want to envision this beautiful world, and so here's a way to bring people together to do that. That's one of the really fun things that I'm doing. And I encourage you to go there and take a look. My website is theartofconsciouscreation.com, and there's all kinds of very cool stuff there. And it's called theartofconsciouscreation.com. There's articles, you can sign up to get a manifesting tip every day. We're going to have a teleseminar coming up sometime very shortly. It's called Power Up Your Life, Consciously Creating Love, Health, and Wealth. And so that, you can get in on that. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's not set up yet on the website fully, so if you want to just email me at Jackie@theartofconsciouscreation.com, and that's Jackie@theartofconsciouscreation.com, then folks can come and I'll send you an email as soon as that is ready to go. And that's going to be really, I think that's going to be a very powerful ability to walk people through these techniques and look at what they particularly are doing and how they can create the flow in their lives that's going to let them achieve these things.
Have you worked with Lynn McTaggart at all in her intention experiment? Because she's doing similar work.
Had a wonderful lunch with Lynn at the IONS conference, the Institute of Noetic Science this year. And we had a great conversation about the work that she is doing. I got to sit in on one of her sessions and actually participate in one of her little thought experiments where we were intentioning some seeds to grow.
Mm.
And I just admire her tremendously, and in fact, a lot of her work, obviously, is part of my science chapter, and I encourage people to read her books, The Field and the Intention Experiment, if they want a more full exploration of the science, because she is just a brilliant, brilliant reporter with a window on this whole area.
Well, I think, we're all doing, a part of that work. You know, we're all doing similar work all over, so it's as if there's a fragment of ourself here and a fragment of ourself there. It's basically bringing about the same unification of consciousness, your work
yes.
and her work and what I'm trying to do with this television and radio programs that I'm doing. I think, what you just said before, when two people have the same thought, it's exponential in the power that it creates in the world. And, for a long time that's been negative, and that's created an exponential negative existence. Now we have a chance to create positive thoughts and create a whole different planet based on the synchronicity of positive thinking, of upliftment.
One of the visions in the book is a vision for peace, and it's a very powerful thing. And actually, you can go to the website and you can hear my little MP3, an audio of it. And it get a sense of the kinds of visions that I think we need to be doing in our lives, but not only alone, but with people, participating in group visions and meditating on these things. The more of us do it, the more we can change.
So tell me what your vision for the world is, like your personal vision. How would you like to see the planet in in 2 years or 5 years or 10 or 100 years? What do you see as a maximum potential?
Ultimately, I want to see no borders. Mm-hmm. I want to see everybody recognizing that they are all a part of the divine energy, this universal energy, and that they, every other person is a part of them. Mm-hmm. We are not separate. We are not the others. There are no divisions between people because we recognize in each other that we are all part of one force. We are helping each other. There is no poverty and no hunger on the planet because there's enough to feed all of us. We just, you know, have to prevent others from stopping, you know, holding food up as hostage, and create the economic incentives for everybody to eat. I see a world where everybody is educated, everybody lives a spiritual life, where life is treasured and people settle their, you know, if they disagree, they look at ways in which to share their feelings, their emotions, but without making the other one, you know, the other person wrong. I see a world where we each look at each other with dignity and with kindness and compassion and offer support. That's the world that I want to live in.
That's the world I want to live in, too. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, there's a lot of us who really share that same vision, and I think it is going to happen at some point. You know, I really do. How could it not? I mean, our whole evolution is heading in that direction. I mean, that's what John Lennon imagined, you know, that's it, you know. And we're moving there. We are. I mean, some of us are living there, actually, because I think the more of us that do share that free, open, and in-touch spiritual connection, the more that is spreading, and there's evidence that it's spreading everywhere.
And one of the intentions that I hold is that we will have enlightened leaders, leaders who share this vision, leaders who are not there because they want to control, they want power, they want to stay in office. I want leaders who are really concerned about the welfare of everyone.
You know, I like Dennis Kucinich, who talks about that. Have you talked to him at all? Have you met Dennis Kucinich?
I have not.
He is a beautiful guy who says, look, I am a public servant. I'm here to perform the will of the people. It's not my personal will. It's the will of the people. And I think those are the type of leaders you're saying are the best leaders because it is the collective vision. They're carrying out the collective vision. That's really what a politician should do. And that's what we're electing them for. I mean, I know there's a primary tonight. I don't know who's winning, but
it was neck and neck on the Democrats a few minutes ago.
Well, I'm going to turn it on, but soon. But I think whoever becomes the next president, it's just kind of a ridiculous word to say that someone's in charge, because I think as we move into this collective vision, everyone is in a sense responsible and in charge. That's how I see. We need a transformation of the type of process that we've been governed under. And so let's create that. Let's create that, you know, what do you say? The universal, united world healing. That's exactly what we need.
We need to each take responsibility. That's the real key. Take responsibility for ourselves.
And just one last thing about synchronicity. Where do you see that fitting into it all?
Well, synchronicity is a lovely thing that happens when you're surfing the love vibration. Mm. You know, when you are in a high vibration place and you're sending out a signal. Sometimes you may be conscious of sending signals. Oh, I need this. Or you don't think about it, but you just things that you just happen to need, even though you haven't made a conscious decision, just show up in your life. Hmm. Or people that you want to see, or, you know, things that are important to your heart you just need to feel good about. Things just start showing up. It's because you're riding that love vibration. You're putting yourself in the in the energetic framework to attract the things that bring joy and light to your life.
So that's really what it comes down to, the love vibration, living in the love vibration, which just means just sending out love the best we can, whenever we can, especially when we're being challenged, you know, like, you know, there's people who challenge that love because they're not from there and they don't want to feel it. They're threatened by that, but...
Well, and, you know, some of those people can be transformed and others can be just... you know, they can be sort of marginalized by more powerful people who show that love is the way. One of the things that I have in the book is a chapter on actionaries and how each one of us, see, the universe recognizes people's vision, but when it's backed up by action, that's when things really start to happen. Because the universe rewards action. So you...
It's like taking one step towards God. God takes 100 steps towards you, in a way.
Oh, that's a perfect way to say it, Alan. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what you want to be is an actionary in the world. And, you know, people say, oh, my God, I can't change the world. You know, I can't hardly even manage my own life. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is you can change the world, but it doesn't mean you have to go out and start a nonprofit like I did. It means taking your elderly neighbor to the park who's a shut-in. It means... helping somebody walk their dogs when they're sick. It means going to the battered women's shelter and helping them stock their thrift store shelves.
Mm.
It means just being nice to somebody who's not had many people be nice to them.
I totally agree, and I think we are going to change the world, and it's happening. I think it is happening. So if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to your website, theartofconsciouscreation.com.
Yeah, and I'll give them another little, just because it's your listeners, I
okay,
have a little thing
you.
Called consciouscreatorsradiobonus.com. I'm going to say that again. consciouscreatorsradiobonus.com. And if they go there and they want to buy the book through that means, then what they can do is they get $2,000 worth of very cool bonuses from people like Joe Vitale and Peggy McCall and Pamela Owsley, and lots of other great visionaries, and I want people to have those because they're really very nice things.
Like what kind of stuff? Like what kind of things?
Let's see. Well, you know, some of them have e-books, and some of them have special courses and that they're going to give you free, and some of them are going to have, boy, I haven't even looked at it in a little bit while, but you can go on the website, go to that website, and you see what they are because they're all spelled out there.
Thank you, Jackie. That's very nice of you to give the listeners of, and also the of the website UnitedWorldHealing.com, right?
That's UnitedWorldHealing.org.
Oh, .org. That's the nonprofit United.
That's
World.
Right. Yep. If
United
you get on,
World oh, Healing.
And by the way, if
yes.
you go sign up on my website,
yes.
there is a very cool new free ebook, and it looks at a lot of the science.
A lot of science about manifestation in the
yeah.
world.
Yep, you know, up in the upper left-hand corner, when you go on the page, there's a little yellow button that says "Sign up here for your free ebook, the 50-page ebook."
Okay, I'm actually going to do that, and I'll let you know. And then, where do you think we're moving? What's the next step beyond this? Do you have any ideas where we're going after global transformation, or where you?
Well, you know, there's lots of thoughts about that, and I happen to say that I am no expert. I leave some of that to the universe. My intention is just to simply bring what light that I can to this world and let the universe guide the rest of us on where we're supposed to be going in terms of ultimate...
No
ultimate
guesses, no desire, anything comes to you?
Well, you know, one of the nice things is, you know, the Aztecs have predicted that 2012 is the year of, is the, you know, the there will be a major change in the world, and that it brings the era of the gods. And what that implies to me is that we become gods by becoming conscious creators.
I think we become
the god in the world.
I think that is actually our destiny, is to become that god. I really do. And so I'm going for that one. I definitely am.
Well, I think I think that is, you know, you can look at gloom and doom and all the terrible things, or you can say, we are all going to become conscious creators and create the reality we want together.
That's why I call this program New Realities, for that very reason, because I know there are new realities that we can create. And actually, dreams that we haven't dreamed yet are coming as we take the next step forward and unfolding a new future. Or as actually one of George Bush's quotes I like to quote, even though he didn't really know what he was saying, he said, the future will be better tomorrow. So I use that, even though it's coming from George Bush. But anyway, thank you, Jackie, for being a guest.
Well, it was lovely to have me on. Alan, thank you so very much.
Yes, I have been talking to Jackie Lapin, who's the author of The Art of Conscious Creation, and that is published by Elevate.
Elevate.
Is that a new publishing company?
A company out of South Carolina, yeah.
Really? That's nice. So this book is available online and in bookstores and I guess on Amazon too, right?
You bet. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in the stores, Borders, and on my website.
Well, good luck with it, because it's a very well put together book that really lays out the art of conscious creating in a very simple and logical and empowering way. So, thank you.
Hey, it was a great pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Okay, we'll do it again sometime. Okay?
I'd love that.
Okay.
And maybe I'll come see you in New York.
Yeah, come see me. We'll do a television interview. Yeah, I just want to tell people about that as well. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and I'm on BBS Radio every week at this time, and also do a television show in New York called New Realities that you can see on MNN, ManhattanNeighborhoodNetwork.org. That's on 9 p.m. Mondays, and click on Channel 57, or on YouTube. I have a bunch of videos on YouTube under New Realities. Just type that into the search, one word, New Realities. If you have any questions about anything you've heard or suggestions or ideas, you can email me at newrealities.com. newrealities@earthlink.net, and then my website is newrealities.com. So email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or check my website, newrealities.com or newrealities.tv. I'm going to end with this song by Chris Williamson. Do you know that song, Jackie?
Probably not.
It's an old folk song, but she kind of sums up a lot of what we've been talking about. So if you wanted to stay on, you could listen to some of that. Okay.
Sounds great.
Here it goes.